are listening to the Uncancelled Podcast, the podcast of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut. We believe that Jesus came to set you free, and nothing can cancel the truth of God's Word. We hope that these teachings encourage you and help you grow in your faith. If you enjoy this teaching, make sure to subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with all of our content. Now, here is your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncancelled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for being live with me. If you like to watch me live every single week, I like you. You know why? Because I love being live with you guys, and I love talking to a live audience, even if it's like, you know, 5-10 people or whatever. But it's great to be live with you guys, and you know, it's great to get this content out there. You know, I didn't start this podcast for clout purposes. I started this podcast because I was in prayer. I don't even know. I think I started this podcast like 3 years ago, maybe even longer or something. But I started this podcast a couple years ago, and I felt like the reason God wanted me to start it was simply just to teach the Bible to my youth ministry. That's really just what I felt to do, to make resources available when people ask me questions. And now different, you know, people watch it, even people that don't go to Impact and stuff. And we actually have over 500 subscribers. I don't know if you knew that, Ben. We have over 500 subscribers now, which is like nothing, but like it's at least like something. You know, we're starting to get some stuff. We also on our lives for Instagram, not for Instagram, for services, we've been having over like 150 views pretty much every single time, which is cool. It's just good to see stuff grow and you know, God do some cool stuff. I'm not saying that we've arrived by any means. You know, that those are baby numbers, but it's still awesome to see what God's doing, and I'm excited for everything that's happening. I see that that Mike Kromko is on here. I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to him. I believe he's pastoring somewhere right now. I saw him recently. What's up, my man? Thanks for checking us out. I hope that everything's well with you guys, and you and your wife are doing good. But today I want to talk about something today that here's the reality of life, I guess, is what I want to talk about. Sometimes things happen in life that are really terrible. And I don't mean to readdress what happened last week, although that is still on the forefront of minds of many Americans. Still, me and Ben addressed it last week, and I hope that that was a blessing to you. But when things like that happen, when terrible tragedies take place, when someone who loves God is killed, when a school shooting takes place, when someone dies of cancer, when someone that was believing God for their healing does not get healed, when somebody that is believing God for even something like the baptism of the Holy Spirit and it doesn't seem to happen the way that they expected, when you're believing God for salvation in your family and it doesn't happen, it can be very jarring for people. And what many people do is they adjust their theology to cater towards their experience. And so they'll say, well, it's not God's will to always heal us because this person didn't get healed. And then, or they'll say, well, God doesn't always protect us. Sometimes God, you know, allows bad things to happen so that he can bring about his purposes in it. And I want to kind of address this a little bit today. And I want to speak to you from the title. If you're watching on Instagram and, or you're, watching on, YouTube, I want to speak from the title, Embracing the Unknown. Embracing the unknown. And I really think that this is going to help some people today. So if you would turn in your Bible with me to Psalm 139. I don't intend to be very long today. I intend to be done by about 4 o'clock potentially. That feels about right. 4:10, something like that. So it'll be about a 30-40 minute podcast. But go to Psalm 139 verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. I want to encourage you with this and warn you with this. The warning is that God sees everything. God sees everything exactly as it is. God, the Bible says everything is naked before him. What does that mean? He sees everything exactly as it is. So what that means is that if I'm not living for God, if I'm doing something that's not pleasing to him, he sees that. Let that be a warning. But also let it be an encouragement. That if you feel like nobody is seeing what you're doing, if you feel completely unnoticed, if you feel like what you're doing doesn't matter, I want to encourage you today exactly what the Bible says. He knows when you sit down, and he knows when you rise up. He discerns your thoughts from afar. God sees everything that you're doing. Maybe you're watching this and you're a minister that's on here. You're just starting in the ministry and you feel like nobody is noticing. Nobody cares about what you're doing. It seems like things are not being successful. It seems as though things are hard or, you know, tedious. And it's just like, man, God, where are you in all of this? Why is nothing working for me? I want to encourage you that God sees every single bit of work that you're putting in. God sees the fact that you're staying up late until 1 o'clock in the morning in prayer. God sees the fact that you're up until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning doing something for his kingdom, that you're waking up at 6 a.m. to go and do an outreach that God asks you to do. And yeah, maybe there's only 10 people that show up to that outreach and 2 people get saved. But guess what? That's 2 more people that came into the kingdom and 10 more people that heard the gospel. God sees all of that that's taking place. I don't know why I went in that direction for a second, but I did. But what I want to share with you about this is that this text in Psalm 139, it is speaking about the omnisciency of God. What omniscient means is omniscient means that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And this text in Psalm 139, it shows us that he knows everything. The Bible even says in Psalm 139, verse 4, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." God even knows what I'm going to say before I say it. That is the omniscience of God. And what I want to set in talking about embracing the unknown in my attempt to perhaps provide somewhat of an answer as to, you know, how come this doesn't happen sometimes and how come tragedies happen, and to be quite frank, the question that a lot of people have asked is, why didn't God protect Charlie Kirk? And why did Charlie Kirk die? And all of that. I want to do my best to try to provide to you an element of peace. I will tell you this, by the title, you can tell that we're not going to end this broadcast with conclusive answers as to exactly why, but hopefully it'll help you leave with some security in your heart and understanding and embracing the unknown. So in this beginning part, I want us to start with this. God knows everything. God knows all. The Bible then tells us in Hebrews 4:13, in which I referenced earlier, it says that everything is naked before the Lord. In other words, that not only does God know all, but God also sees all. He sees all. He sees everything exactly how it is. God sees the motivations of people's hearts. God sees why people are doing things. God sees what is going on in the secret, in someone's heart, in secret behind the scenes. God sees what nobody else sees. But what I really want to get at is Deuteronomy 29:29, and I think that this is going to begin to start to give us an answer. So first, we understand that God is all-knowing. And I want you to get this. God is omniscient. We are not. God knows everything, but I don't know everything. If I knew everything, I would also be God. I would be God. Only God knows all things. I can't know everything, but he does know everything. So let's establish that as a framework. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 now. If you turn there with me, I'm going old school. I got my paper Bible with me today. It says this. Oh, I'm in Numbers, not Deuteronomy. Kind of seems like a different book of the Bible, doesn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Forgive me. It says this. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." You know, I want to read this in the NLT. I guess it turns out I'm going to go to the old, I'm going to go to the new school Bible, I guess anyway, the Bible, phone Bible. It says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one, or the secret things belong to the Lord, as we said. We are not accountable for them. I want to emphasize that. The Bible says that we are not accountable for the secret things that belong to the Lord. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us. I want you to get this. We are not accountable to know everything. God does not expect us to know everything. God only expects us to know the things that He has revealed to us. It is my job as a believer, and it's your job as a believer, to follow the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God. God's will is revealed in His Word. God has revealed to us in His Word that that divine protection is available to us. Where is that in the Bible? Psalm 91, scripture in Matthew or Mark 16, where it says that you'll pick up serpents in your hand and you won't be harmed. Obviously, the Bible not telling us to just go pick up serpents, but rather a promise of divine protection. Or when Paul was snake bitten, or when Paul was shipwrecked and he was unharmed, or when Paul was stoned and left for dead, but he didn't die. Or when John was put into a vat of boiling oil and he did not die. All of these different things where we see divine protection take place in the scripture. We also see examples where someone like Stephen was martyred. Why? Because God does call us to be willing to lay down our life for our faith as well. But we see a promise of divine protection. We see promises of divine healing in the Bible. We see that the Bible says in Matthew 8:16-17, that He took our sicknesses and bore our diseases. It is the will of God to heal. We have the revealed will of God, which the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It says that we are accountable for all that He has revealed to us. I'm not accountable for what I don't know. I'm accountable to simply live by the Bible. And if a situation arises where it seems that something contrary to the Bible takes place, it is not my job to speculate. And what I mean by that is it's not my job to say if somebody dies of cancer that is believing God for a miracle and they believe God and they die from cancer. It's not my job to sit there and go, well, maybe they died from cancer because they had secret sin in their life. Or, oh, you know, maybe they died from cancer because, you know, they were doing this or they were holding on to unforgiveness. Now, let me be very clear. The Bible does speak about different things that could hinder our prayers being answered and could hinder things from happening, or they didn't have enough faith would be one that's very common. It is not my job to specifically point out why something didn't happen in an individual's life. Sure, I can teach from the Bible different hindrances to divine healing. I can preach out of the Bible different hindrances to our prayers being answered. But it is not my job in a case-by-case situation to point out why this, why that, why the other thing, because the secret things belong to the Lord. The secret things belong to the Lord. It is God who knows why that happened. It is God that understands why that happened. It is not my job to figure out exactly why something didn't happen the way that it didn't happen. We don't have all the answers. I don't know why Charlie Kirk was not, God didn't protect Charlie Kirk last week. I don't even know if I would phrase it like that. God didn't protect Charlie Kirk. I don't know if it's even like that. Because here's the reality. We live in a fallen world where bad things happen sometimes. I don't even want to get into, oh, why wasn't he protected? All that type of stuff. I don't know. But here is something that I'll encourage you with. People try to, here's where the problem is for believers, is people then come to Christians and they challenge them with a question like that. Well, why didn't God protect this person? Or my grandma was a praying woman and she didn't get healed. Or this happened or that happened. And they point to all these instances. Then how come this happened? If God is real, then how come this? If God is real, then how come that? And if the Bible's really true and it says that God heals, then how come this person didn't get healed? You know what my response to that is? Everybody has things they don't know. Whether you are an atheist or a Christian, whether you are another religion, primarily let's speak to the fact of someone being an atheist. There are things you still don't know the answer to. I'll get you. You know, they think that they'll get us Christians. Well, how come this happened then if your God is so real and your God is so good? You know what I would respond with? And this is called thinking smarter, not thinking harder. I'd respond with, well, I'm not sure. Why don't you tell me why it happened? They don't know the answer either. Well, okay. Well, I'm not actually sure why that person didn't get healed, but can you explain to me why that person died? Well, that person died because it's just the world that we live in. But why is it the world that we live in? What makes bad things happen in the world? Where do you think that comes from? Well, it's just the result of the world and human nature. Okay, great, but where does that human nature come from? I see too many Christians are defensive in their faith, where they feel like they need to answer every single question, where they could simply respond to somebody and say, well, you don't know all the answers either, because they almost attack Christianity like we don't have all the answers to everything, and they do. But the reality is they don't have the answers either. Well, how do you think the world was created? Well, I think that there was a big bang that took place that caused the world to be created. What caused the bang? Well, it was just some atoms. Who created the atoms? Well, you know, the atoms, they came from. Well, who created that? Do you see the problems that atheism and that evolution runs into as well? They act like Christians. Well, if it's true, you should have the answer to everything. Let's use that same logic and let's apply it to atheism and evolution. You don't have all the answers to everything, too. Still waiting for an ape to turn into a human being. Still haven't seen that happen yet. Still waiting on it. Well, it happens over a really long time. Bull crap. It just sounds fake. It's it just happens over a really long. Well, why don't we see any evolution of it take place then at any time? Why don't we see things evolving and all this type of stuff? They don't have all the answers either. Here's the difference. This will encourage you in your faith. As a Christian, I have a different answer than someone who is an atheist. I have a different answer than everybody else. When the world says, I don't know, that's all they're left with. When a Christian says, I don't know, I say, I don't know the answer to that, but I know who does know the answer in that. I know the one who knows the answer to all things. I serve the one that has the answer to every problem. I serve the one who has the answer to every challenge. I serve the one who knows why it happened and why it didn't happen. I serve the God who does know, and I choose to put my trust in him. And this is what I mean by embracing the unknown. Instead of being afraid that you don't know the answer to every question, instead of being afraid that you don't know why this happened or why that happened or why this did happen or didn't happen. Instead of sitting there being embarrassed and ashamed that you don't know, instead embrace that you don't know. What do you mean embrace? Every time that I don't know the answer to something, it reminds me that I am the creation, not the creator. Every time I don't know the answer to something, it reminds me of my dependency upon God, because I need him to be able to live my life. I need him to be able to get through the day. It reminds me and it humbles me before God every time I don't know the answer to something. See, while the world doesn't have an answer, the world, I don't know. You know, it's just, you know, the atoms and stuff. We don't really know where they came from. I guess it came from who created the particles. It can lead to a million answers. And at the end of the day, their answer really is, I don't know. But they cannot say that they know the one who does know. I can say that I do. I know the one that knows. I know what the Bible says. I know that the Bible is true. I know that everything that it says is true. I know that. I don't know why it didn't work out that way that time. I don't know why it didn't work out, why that person didn't get healed. I don't know why they weren't protected. I'm not sure, but I know the one that does know the answer. But can I tell you this? For as many times that it doesn't work out the way the Bible says that it should, I can give you twice the examples that it did work out the way the Bible should. Here's my question. Somebody says, well, how come this person didn't get healed? You know, if the Bible's true, then how come this person didn't get healed? I might not know the answer to why that specific person didn't get healed, but I can tell you this. How about the 9 that did? You know, we pray for regularly at Impact and at our church and stuff. We pray for people for miracles. And I'll tell you this. Just last week, I had a lady come up to me. I guess I prayed for her when I preached in the Spanish ministry at our church. And when I was preaching in the Spanish ministry at our church, I was praying for people that were believing God. A woman came forward, said she had a heart problem that the doctors couldn't put their finger on and that they were very concerned. She had some type of blockage in her heart. I don't even understand what was going on. We prayed. We believed God. I left. I pray in the name of Jesus, you know, be healed. Very, very simple. She came back to me with documentation, medical documentation that says what her heart was showing before the scan, and it shows what her heart was showing after the scan. And her heart was completely healed. They were worried that there was a blockage in her left ventricle, I think it was, or something like that. And then they said, there's no blockage. Everything is fine. What happened? God did a miracle. So let me ask you this. If you'll challenge me and say, well, how come this didn't happen? If God is real, how come this didn't happen? I'll respond to you and say, I don't know about that, but I could tell you about this. How do you explain that? See, I have an answer for the first thing. The answer is, I don't know, but I know the one who does know. The answer to the other thing, how does that happen? Just, you can't even rest, well, I know the one who does know. No, because you don't believe in that. I have an answer. I have an answer because I serve the God that has the answer to all things. I serve a God who has the answer to all things. I have that answer. I don't know. But I know that God is real. I've seen him too many times do what his word says. More often times than not, God's word prevails. And when it doesn't, it's not because it was God. It's not because God decided to not let it happen. It's not because God is bad. It's not because God is evil. Daniel probably was very confused in Daniel chapter 10. You know what? Go ahead and turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 10 with me. I'm going to read it from the NLT. Daniel chapter 10. I'm sure Daniel was extremely confused in the Bible. Daniel decided to pray for 21 days for an answer. He prayed for 21 days. There was no answer to his prayer, even though he was praying fervently for 21 days. He even made a decision to go into a state of mourning. He decided not to eat any celebratory foods during that time. And he said, God, I'm not going to eat any foods of celebration. I'm only going to eat foods of mourning because I need an answer from you. I need an answer from heaven. 20 days go by, no answer. But what did Daniel do? He stuck with the word. He stuck with the word of the Lord. He stuck with what he knew about God, that God was going to answer him from heaven. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. It says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Watch this. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. So first off, the prayer was heard the first day. The answer was on the way, but watch this. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. You don't know what's going on in the spirit. Sometimes you may never get an answer to what was going on in the spirit. Sometimes you may never get an answer to what was happening. Sometimes you will get an answer in this life. I've heard stories, and I'm not saying this is always, please don't miss what I'm saying or hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying that this is a possibility and that this has happened in specific cases where somebody doesn't get healed that was believing God for prayer or believing God for healing. They're believing God. They're standing in faith. They're believing God and they're telling everyone they're believing God and they don't receive their miracle and they die and people are left wondering why it didn't happen. And then it comes out in a year or two that the person was living an extremely immoral life and was living a double life for the things of God. And then we come to find out that we can perceive that because the Bible talks about things that can hinder our prayers from being answered, that sin in their life was perhaps hindering that prayer from being answered. But I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that's always the case. I'm not even saying that we'll always get that answer to why it didn't happen. What I'm saying is this. There are things that are going on that only the Lord knows. And that's why the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. It is not my job to speculate and to figure out exactly why something is not happening. I'm not going to do that because I'm not God. And the Bible says the secret things belong to him. And it is my job to believe for what has been revealed. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. I don't always know what's going on when I pray for different people. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. I'll read this to you. I hope this is helping somebody today be able to be okay with embracing the unknown. 1 Corinthians 13, I don't know if you're still watching, but what's up? Dia, Vic, Alondra, Pedro. Alondra, I'm looking forward to seeing you this week, one of our graduates. It says, now we see things imperfectly. I want you to hear that again. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. What is this referring to? What this is referring to is the when we see Christ. Until we see Christ face to face, we will see everything partial and incomplete. Because the Bible says, all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Right now, I see imperfectly. Right now, we only see things partly. But then when we see Christ one day, we will see everything with perfect clarity. Right now, I don't know everything. That's why the gifts of the Spirit, this is actually in the context of the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes I may have a word for somebody, but I only see part of the picture. Why? Because right now we don't see things perfectly. We don't see things in that way, in that we know everything. We only know that which God has revealed to us. We only know the things that have been made known to us. The secret things belong to the Lord. The secret things belong to the Lord. Things don't happen or not happen most of the time because of God, you know, or a lot of the time, I should say. Rather, it's because of the brokenness and the evil that's in this world. We live in an imperfect world. That's why the Bible says that this world must be destroyed and pass away, and a new heaven and a new earth must be created. But I want you to get this. Believers that die because of, in Stephen's case, martyrdom, or in assassination, or in death, or from sickness, or in whatever it may be. Believers that die don't lose. Ben said this last week, and I loved what he said. The Bible says, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" People that die because of whatever happened in their life, because of what the devil tried to take them out with, the devil actually failed ultimately. How do you say that, Pastor Joey? Because that person that died that was a believer, they don't even taste of death. They go on to new life in Christ. Eternal life in Christ is a better way to put it. They're upgraded to eternity. They've been upgraded to first class. It's like they got an upgrade. So actually, the devil doesn't win even in death, because the Bible says, "Death, where is your sting?" They still win. They still win. So don't confuse that. They still win. Sometimes we may have an answer now. Sometimes we'll get it later. I want to end by saying this. God has such a knack for turning things around for his good that people often mistake bad things as coming from God. For example, with the Charlie Kirk thing. And I want to just say this, just in case you haven't heard my statement on it or Pastor Frank's statement. I'm not saying that everything that Charlie Kirk said I agree with. I'm not saying whether I do or don't agree with him. I'm not even saying, I'm not saying one way or another. I do believe he stood for many righteous things. I do believe that he was a born-again Christian because he professed Christ. I think it was very sad what happened to him, regardless of where you stand on that. But in the Charlie Kirk situation, his death has opened the eyes of people to want to come to church. Church attendance boomed this weekend because when people see tragedy, it makes them want to come to God, because it makes them think about eternity and it makes them think about life a lot differently. I see someone every single week. I have an appointment every single week somewhere, and I see them, and they talk to me about God sometimes, and I've ministered to them a lot of times. For the first time, they said to me this week, they said, "Joey, I have a question for you." And I said, "Yeah, what's up?" They said, "Where can I get a Bible?" And I said, "I'll get one for you. I'll bring it to you next week." I said, "What made you want a Bible?" They said, "I saw what happened to Charlie Kirk, and I've been wanting to get closer to God, and I want a paper Bible." Why? See, people can see that and go, "See, God caused Charlie to die so more people can come to him." No, that's not the proper understanding. God turns all things around for his good. God makes everything work together for his good. So yeah, that person's death, that was the devil that caused them to die. Yeah, that person, Charlie Kirk's death, that was the devil that caused him to die. But can I tell you this? God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purposes. He works everything together for good. He is so good at working things together that it's almost as if he was the one that caused it. But it's not the case. He's just that good at it. He's so good at spinning a story. It's like a company when a newspaper leaks a story about that could be bad publicity for them and they turn it around for their good. It's like, did the company leak that story because it turned out so well for them? They actually started selling more things because of what happened. That's how good God is. He flips what the enemy meant for evil for his good. It's not from God. God's not the one that caused it. God's not the one that made it happen. But he certainly will take whatever the enemy tries to intend for evil, turn around for good. What is happening right now because of what happened last week is the church is rising up and they're turning things around for good. Bethel High School, a local high school in our area, started a Bible club, and they started it this last week. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. They started a Bible club. 58 people in attendance first week of doing it. What happened? People want to come to God right now more than they ever have before. God is turning everything around for our good. So yeah, I don't know everything. I don't know exactly why things are happening. I don't know why this happened or that happened, or I'm sorry if your grandma died. I'm sorry if your grandma died from disease. I'm sorry if your parent even died. I'm sorry if you had a tragic death in your family. I'm sorry if you saw a horrific thing happen. I'm sorry if something that bad happened in your life. It wasn't God. It wasn't God that made that thing happen. I don't know why it happened. I don't understand everything. Some of it has to do with the free will of humanity and that God's given us a choice. But other things we may not always have the answer to. But what I can encourage you with this is that anything that the enemy meant for evil, God will use for his good. God will use it for his good. God is working everything out for your good. Amen. He's working everything out for your good. Well, how do I know? Well, I'll tell you this. The only way it wouldn't work out for your good is if you don't love him. Because the Bible says that everything works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And I know this. I see the different people that are watching right now. You love him. And I'm telling you this, God will work things together for your good. God works. And can I just say this? It's so not comforting when a preacher tells you, like I saw a video about Charlie Kirk's death and the preacher basically said, you know, if it wasn't a gun, it would have been a heart attack. It was just his day to die. God just decided that his life was going to end that day. It was time for him to go to heaven. That is not encouraging to Charlie Kirk's family to say that to them. And that's not even biblical because at the end of the day, it's the Bible should encourage. Yes, but it's not biblical to say that. It's just not. So it doesn't help anyone to say that. So don't say foolish things like that to people that, oh, you know, God needed another rose for his garden. I want to roundhouse you twice. Once to the dome on one side, once to the dome on the other side. I can't stand it when people say things like that because what you are doing is you are attributing work of the devil to God. That's what you're doing. When you say that, I know that 5-year-old died, but like, you know, we know that God just needed another rose for his garden. Don't do that. Don't attribute work of the devil to God. I don't know why it happened. I don't know how I don't understand everything sometimes, but I embrace the unknown. I embrace what I do know, and I embrace the unknown, knowing that there is one that I serve that knows everything. I hope that this teaching is encouraging you. I hope that it's blessing you. I see that we've had about 7 people watching on Instagram. I don't know how many people are watching on YouTube. I have no idea. But how many? 3 to 6. Cool. Well, I hope that for those of you guys that are watching, this encourages you. And for those that are watching the replay, send this to somebody. We're going to post it tomorrow. Send this to somebody that maybe is looking for answers right now. And make sure to encourage them to watch to the end, especially if they don't know Christ because of what I'm about to do right now. If you're watching this right now and you're saying, wow, I've never even heard anyone talk about things like this. I've never understood this. I never realized that I can embrace the unknown. I didn't realize that there's a God that knows everything. I want you to know this. Not only is there a God that knows everything, but there's a God that died for you. The Bible tells us that God created us and we rebelled against him. And that rebellion is called sin. That's what sin is. It's rebellion against God. It's missing God's standard. The Bible says that the payment for our sin is death. We all deserve to die because of our sin. But the good news of the gospel is that God came down. Jesus Christ, that's who he was, God in the flesh and who he is. He came down. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted to sin just like I am and you are, but he didn't do it. He then went to the cross. He died on that cross. He took the payment for your sin and my sin. He was then buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That is the gospel message. You may be thinking, Pastor Joey, I'm not good enough to go to heaven. I'm not good enough to be right with God. I have good news for you. You don't got to be good enough. I'm not good enough to come to God either. No one is. But he came for us. The Bible actually says that he became sin, that never sinned, that we could be his righteousness. You're telling me I could be righteous, Pastor Joey? That's right. All you got to do is call on Jesus' name today. It doesn't matter what you did before you saw this video. It doesn't matter all the bad things that you did. All that stuff, it dies when you come to Christ, because the Bible says when you come to Christ, you become a new creation. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to be right with God. God wants to save you today. He already died for you. All you have to do is receive the gift of salvation, and he'll make you new. He'll cleanse you today. This is your moment. Right now is your time. Get right with God. Come to know Jesus Christ. If that's you and you need to get right with Jesus right now, right where you're watching this, I want you to just go ahead and I want you to say this to the Lord. Don't say it to me. Say this prayer with me. It'll help you express what you're feeling right now on the inside. Say this. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I turn my back on the way that I was living, and I put my faith in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in the ground, and you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a real Christian now. I'm a new creation. I may not know everything, but I now know you, who knows everything. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer for the first time, I want to just welcome you to the family of God. It's the greatest decision you can ever make. Are you able to throw that slide up? If you just gave your life to Christ, I'm going to throw up my website. It's called freedomgen.org, I believe is the name of the website. And you can go ahead and click on the website. Is it right when you click on the website, Ben? It's the what? Orange? There's an orange button when you go on the website that says, I just got saved. Click on that. I made a video for you to help you now, because this is not the end of your relationship with God. This is the beginning of your relationship with God. And it's so exciting. We want to help you grow in your faith. You can contact us on our website, follow up with us. We want to help you get grow in your faith. This channel has live streams pretty much every single week. We have our youth service on Wednesday night. We have podcasts that come out every Friday. We have live streams every single Thursday. So we would love for you to connect with us and follow up with us as well, and we'll follow up with you. We'll do our best to help you any way that we can. If you were moved by this broadcast and it encouraged you, I don't do these big offering teachings. I just don't, unless I really feel to. If you want to give to this ministry, I want you to know we're doing good stuff, and I want you to know what we're doing. A couple of things that we're doing. First off, we just gave $400 to, I think, 6 or 7 different Bible studies in this area. We actually have a Bible club in every single high school in Greater Danbury, except for one. We're getting one more. There's one more school that we're getting one started in. We just gave $400 to every single one of them. Why? Because we want to see the gospel spread in a generation. And another thing we're doing, in a couple weeks, we have our event we're doing on a Wednesday night. It's one of our Wednesday night youth services, and we're putting a lot of effort into it. We want to see 200 young people come to that service that night. We're believing God it's going to be our best attended service that we have ever had at Impact in its history. We already had that. We're trying to do it again. I think our most ever was 150 that we had, and so we're going for 200. And if you like what we're doing and you like how we're trying to reach people with the gospel in our generation, I want to give you an opportunity to give and sow into it. anyway. You're not sowing to help me. God will take care of me. God will cause manna to come from heaven if it be necessary. You're not just sowing to help Joey because Joey's a good guy. You're sowing into the kingdom of God. And when you sow, the Bible's very certain to tell you that when you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So be blessed as you give. If you want to give, there's a giving slide that Ben is putting on the screen right now. There's a bunch of different ways that you can give. You can give by card by going to our website and clicking give. All the instructions are on the screen in front of you, right? We have our giving slide up there. All the instructions are on the screen right there in front of you. We got Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. Oh, I didn't even know we had PayPal. Surprise. Online giving. You know why I don't know some of those things? Something that God has blessed me with that not everybody is blessed with as early as I have been blessed with is an amazing team. I have great people that help me. I have Ben. I have my wonderful wife, Brianna. I have Cam, who you guys see and are going to see in the outro in a second. And I mean, just the best, world class. Like, I'm not even trying to hype them up. Like, they get everything done that needs to get done for this ministry. And we love it. We have a great time together. Our meetings are a lot of fun. And this ministry is fun. I'm not here sitting up here telling you about how hard it is for me to do this. It's not hard for me to do this. I love it. I love getting on here with you guys. I love doing what I do. I love seeing kids saved. We had a kid that came to youth group last night, never been to church once in his entire life before. And that didn't just happen last night. It happens almost every week. I told Evangelist Wesley after. He was like, why was everybody like not like as like going nuts? He goes, I don't see that happen. I said, well, Wes, because he's one of my best friends. I said, it's because it happens every single week. Not that we're not excited. Everyone, the room erupts every single week when people come down to give their life to Christ. But it's just par for the course at this point. Kids coming to get saved. I love doing what I do. I love my ministry, and I love what God has called me to do. If you gave today, God bless you. Praise God. If you didn't give today, God bless you. Praise God. I hope that encouraged you. Hope that you keep on following this ministry and what God is doing. I'm telling you, October 8th is going to pop off. We're going to have the best service we've ever had in the history of Impact. Get ready for it. It's going to be great. For those of you coming on the retreat, see you this weekend. For those of you guys that watch every week, see you next week. I'm signing off. God bless you guys. Enjoy Cameron's outro.
Thank you for tuning into the Uncancelled Podcast. We hope that you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like to connect with us, check us out on Instagram by searching Impact Youth. God bless, and see you next week.